This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. We got Robert. We got Otto. We got the Hounds.
Lumberjacks. Good. Chrissy.
Smart people up in Bristol, as you all know. We got a cast of thousands behind the scenes.
So, how you doing now?
You mean me personally, physically?
Well, you know, let's just take in general first, then we'll talk about your personal ailments.
I've had a tough year. I really have.
Relatively speaking?
From a physical standpoint,
yeah.
21 is beating Mark Packer to like a pulp.
21 is covering?
I felt like Mark Packer, I'm speaking third person, you know I'm sick. I felt like Louisville in the first half last night. That's how I feel today.
Team of mystery.
Harped on that all August.
What in the world?
That wasn't pretty last night.
No.
And that's how I feel right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going through, I'm getting the, I had a gout flare up last night. I guess it happens every time I see like 100 targeting calls in a football game. I have gout flare ups. There was a time last night I wondered, are we going to finish with anyone with this rule?
We're going to go 7-on-7 Kansas high school football.
I'm getting ready to go off right now because that rule, I've hated that rule.
You and Joel Klatt had a little conversation last
night. Joel Klatt and I are on the same page.
Yes, you are.
Joel's a smart guy. I don't like the rule. I never have liked the rule.
Right.
And I think the way it is implemented with all leagues, I will sit there on Saturday and watch every ACC, SEC, Big Ten game. I mean, I'm a junkie.
Sure.
I'm amazed at the wild inconsistencies of this particular call when in the same league. You can watch back-to-back games in the same conference, and you'll see the call, and you'll go, wait a minute, what is the rule?
Right.
What is the rule? And, you know, I think there's a big difference, Wes, between trying to make a football play mm-hmm. and trying to decapitate someone to injure. I think those are two different things. There's guys trying to make football plays that are getting called for target.
Yeah.
There's guys that are out there going, hey, you know what? I'm going to take this guy's head off because he's been talking about my mama or whatever's going on.
That's a different deal.
I think there's two separate deals. And here's the thing. These guys work their tails off, man. You know, for folks that just are fans, but you don't see what's going on behind the scenes, mm-hmm. they work so hard. And the penalty for the rule is so severe. It's like, all right, it's a bang-bang play. Could go either way, but if it goes against you, you're out of here.
Right.
And you're out of here for the next game for a while. What are we doing? There's no way that should be the penalty.
I don't disagree.
Last night, again, we'll get to the game, but I'm sitting there watching it, and there was, what, four in the first half? And
yes,
I'm not saying,
four.
I'm not
two
saying
for each all, school.
And I'm not saying they were bad calls.
Right.
There's a difference between, the refs stink. I'm not going there at all. The rule stinks. Mm-hmm. The rule needs to be tweaked. And it's hurting college football. I don't care what anybody says. That rule hurts. And here's the thing. Not only is the rule bad, but here's what happens. Time out. Me and the guys in the stripes, we're going to go over and grab a sandwich.
We're going to talk on the iPad.
And then we're going to we're gonna get our tablet out. We're going to look under this. And Herb Street's already going to tell you, well, here's the call. 7 minutes later, these guys are going to come back out there and go, 15 yards, number 23 is out of here. What day is it? Is it still Tuesday? Is there a dog sitting on the front row? Hey, that's a flag. That's tart. I mean, come on. We got to tweak this rule. And every year we get done with the college football season, the committee of committees of subcommittees are going to meet on rule infractions, and they never address this rule. Well, we're going to move the hash marks a quarter of an inch inside. Nobody cares about any of that junk.
So what would you like to see them change it to?
I think the rule should be this. I just said to you, you've got to differentiate between making a football play and somebody that's out there to hurt, injure, or taunt. I think those are two separate deals. And if you watch a game, you can tell somebody trying to make a football play. No, listen, I'm all for the safety of the players. Who isn't? What fool wouldn't be in charge of that and in favor of that?
Correct.
You've got to address it. And I think the penalty needs to be, hey, 10 yards, 15, you make the call. Mm-hmm. But you don't throw anybody out of the game unless they're looking to injure, taunt, or decapitate somebody, then you're gone. We don't need that garbage junk in this game. Game's too good. So that's my rant for that. It drove me crazy last night. Crazy. And again, I'm not ripping the refs. I'm ripping the rule. It's a big difference. The officials are trying to figure out what is the rule. And like I said, it's so wildly inconsistent in every league, every Saturday. Anybody who watches games knows I'm telling the truth.
Yeah. It is definitely one of these deals where you have the gray area. And, like, you know, we had one, obviously, in the ball game on Saturday at Pittsburgh where it's, you know, we had one first play of the game. Phil Campbell hits a kid out of the backfield from UMass, just destroys him on the play, and they call targeting, and they overturned it, okay? The part about it is that you're getting the targeting call and let's go check. And that's the way they coach it as officials, right? That's the way they've discussed.
The officials are doing their job.
They're doing their
and
job.
And I'm not ripping the official. I want before somebody sends a note in,
you're not ripping
the refs.
No, not at all.
Not
ripping the refs.
No, it's a tough gig.
They have a process by which they go through.
Right.
The gray area becomes the indicators in targeting. Leave your feet, forcible contact, defenseless player, things like that. Like the special teams one last night, I mean, 100 times that collision could happen in special teams. Now, when Corral slid and Monty Montgomery and Fagot hit him.
That's a flag.
That's a flag.
No question.
Right.
No doubt.
But is that targeting? Is that ejection? Tell me, was that an ejection to you?
I think that was that, you know, when a quarterback slides, you got to know hands off.
Right.
If I was the official, yeah. I would have thrown the flag.
Okay.
I would have.
All right. So this one, you're fine with. You're good with what ended up happening.
No, that right there to me is bam. You know, the quarterback's going down. You can't go for the head. Okay. Sorry. You can't do it.
Well, now see.
Here's I would have thrown the flag. Down.
Now, let me present this to you.
Go ahead.
I have the angle issue. Like if Matt Corral gives himself up and they're already going to make the tackle, when they move to make the tackle.
In his head was.
I understand that, Pack. But he is a middle. They're trying to hit him in the middle of his body, and then he drops.
Well, you better hit him in the middle of his body.
I understand that. That's the rule of the game, and I understand why it happens. Now, the one on special teams, now that's a dangerous play.
That's what I said. Yeah. I would have thrown the flag right there.
But
I think it's a no-brainer.
The one on the kickoff, I get it because I understand the way the rule is administrated, but that's a hard call. That's a hard call.
Just think again. I think there's a big difference between making a football play and trying to take somebody's head off. I do.
Yeah. And really what Louisville was guilty of last night, and really the two Ole Miss kids as well, is dipping the helmet. And I think Bill Lemagne said that in the first half. You just can't lower the head. If you go head up, I think 9 times out of 10 you're going to survive the collision. That's my opinion. But I agree with you. I think the rule has got to be clarified.
And I feel bad for the officials, quite frankly, because they are in a tough spot. First of all, let's get something straight. This is a physical game, right? This is for grown men. And, you know, if you don't like getting hit, I suggest a dog, right? I mean, so it's a physical sport. Guys are going to get hit. I mean, that's just the way it works. So,
speaking of dogs.
What about?
We have two here.
Yeah, well, they're.
And there was one at the game last night.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You'll see. In fact, for folks that stayed up to watch it, there was like a poodle shepherd-looking thing. I'm not sure what kind of dog it was, but it was a fine hound, front row seats. And the boys were playing the highlights. Here it is right here.
I'll watch this.
I hope Fuller doesn't see because Fuller saw this highlight before we came on the air today.
Yeah.
And Fuller went nuts. Fuller loves watching dogs on television. That pup right there now. You know what that pup needs right there? So a pepperoni. Those are the new treats for the boys. Well, they need Robert to come in there with his peanut butter treats.
Second half video last night?
Yeah. Don't
know what it was?
Oh. I got to tell you, that game got ugly last night. I was expecting. I got to tell you, the team mystery.
Yeah.
I told you all August. They are, to me, I can't figure them out. They're the team of mystery. It's week one. Can't get too high. Can't get too low. But there's a lot of work to be done here. I mean, that's a Mississippi team that couldn't tackle me last year, and Louisville's got a zero at the halftime.
Zip. And 100 yards, and that's it.
That was not – I got to tell you, that was not expected.
Like 107 yards. Ole Miss held Louisville to 107, fewest yards allowed since November 8, 2014, when they held the Fighting Blue Hose of Presbyterian to 104. Yeah, Presbyterian, who just had a quarterback throw for 10 touchdowns.
You know, you also get an appreciation when you lose terrific talent. You know, that Louisville crowd, they had some wide receivers last year that were dudes. And, you know, we heard about the speed and all that stuff. You know, eventually you got to be able to catch the football. Yeah, you got to be able to get the football to them. So, again, week one, disappointing loss, needless to say. Thought that game would be more competitive. It was not.
Yeah.
So Coach Satterfield's got some work to do.
Well, and last night after the ball game was over, Scott Satterfield to the podium discussing the struggles of the first half.
We never got in a rhythm in the first half. You know, we never got the sticks moving. And I think obviously when you do that like we did in the second half, then everybody feels more comfortable and you're in more of a rhythm and you can move the football and you can go score points. We didn't have that in the first half. Probably for a lot of different reasons. You know, it's not any one player. You know, it was overall as an offense. And, you know, we had to do better. And we did in the second half. That was the thing that I was proud about with our offense. They came back in the second half and had some really nice drives and went down and scored touchdowns. And, you know, that's where we got to be.
All right. So, not a great debut for Louisville.
And team of mystery. They're still the team of mystery.
Eastern Kentucky on Saturday, by the way, at Cardinal Stadium.
That needs to be a win.
Yeah, that'll be an ACC Network exclusive for you, by the way. Up at 7 o'clock.
Two turnovers last night for Louisville.
Yep.
Created zero. No stuff in the neck last night. Mm-mm. Gave up 569 on total yards. I will say this. It's week one. People have already drawn stupid conclusions. You see it on ESPN. You see it on Fox. You see it on CBS. Some of the topics I heard yesterday were almost laughable. It's week one. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the journey. We'll have ebbs and flows in this sport like we do every single year. But the quarterback at Ole Miss, that Matt Corral, he is a player now. Now you keep
and
hearing,
playing in a really good offense.
Well, all I'm going to say is this, and I know we're covering the ACC, but you hear a whole list of names for the Heisman, which I always get a kick out of. I mean, you know, we'll get to the Heisman. You know, we'll get to the Heisman.
It's in December.
Yeah, we'll get to the Heisman early November. We'll start figuring out who's actually having a good year as opposed to everybody playing fancy sports and bringing out their carnival-barking crystal balls. But number two there in the Ole Miss Rebels, I know there's not enough people talking about that dude. That guy's got some skill. Now, he can run, he can throw, he's got an offense, he can put up some points. Yeah, but Louisville defensively, Wes, I got to tell you, 569. They didn't seem to have a whole lot of answers last night. Didn't seem that way to me.
No. And you wonder, you know, again, we talk about the whole league here, but with Louisville in particular, with enough guys coming back, you wonder about, I mean, you looked at tape, it's your offseason, and you just kind of say, okay, now, where did you line up the wrong way? Where did you miscalculate? Where did you misassign? How much is unforced? You know, that kind of thing. So, Brian Brown, defensive coordinator, they got a lot of work to get done. Eastern Kentucky, I'm sure they'll be heavily favored. But remember now, this thing comes at you fast. A little Ferris Bueller here for you. This thing comes at you fast now in September. If you're Louisville, all of a sudden it's Eastern Kentucky, and then it's on into it now.
Yeah. Everybody says, what, game one to game two, most improvement?
That's the old adage.
I would tell you, based on our first week here in the league,
We better hope so.
That's been kind.
Yeah, been a tough – now, not for everybody.
Not for everybody.
But in terms
in
of
–
In general, yes, tough week. And if you've dialed away from us to other channels, I'm sure you've already heard plenty of that as well.
There's a lot of stuff going on away from here.
Yeah, that's crazy. Good show coming up here today. Eric McClain will be here at 8 o'clock. His weekly visit with us, and then Dave Kane, the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers, who also has had an interesting summer he wants to discuss with you.
Does it involve gout flares in the middle of the night?
No, his involves broken bones.
Oh, that's worse, I guess. Even I couldn't tell you, right? Right now, I'm in so much pain right now, you'd never know.
So Dave Kane will be here at 8:30, and if you did not get to see Justin Fuente with us yesterday, you'll get a chance to see that at 9:15 this morning, so in case you missed it. But You know what? It's Tuesday, friends. And what do we do on Tuesday for years?
Uh-oh.
Yep. Get ready.
Speaking of pain.
Here comes accounting.
Oh, boy.
Who's number one? Huh. Who's number 14 and in between? Yep. Tuesday morning, off and running. Packer and Durham presented for your enjoyment on the ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, Chester sound asleep. Fuller still looking for highlights of that dog at the Louisville Ole Miss game last night.
Big fella, you can lay down. Go ahead.
All right, we got accounting. This is
They've been waiting all week for this.
This, you talk about roll up your sleeves and get to work. After an ACC week of what, 7-7? Some of it not good. Some good stories.
Some good.
Some bad. Some ugly. Mm-hmm. So good luck
at
home.
Old GBU, good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah. Good luck at home doing this now. Again, fan accounting is tomorrow. You can supply your list of the top 14. That's right. This year we have 14 teams. Notre Dame's no longer a part of it.
That's right.
Even though maybe one day they'll change their mind. But I'm not sure accounting is going to be the lure. But nevertheless, you can rank them 1 through 14. This we gave you last week, just kind of the foundation where we think they're in the neighborhood of.
Right.
And I suspect after this past week, there will be some serious movement, be my guess.
Well, I think at least for me, you had to make overall decisions and then specific decisions. Okay? Because
unlike other weeks?
Well, the overall decision is you had to say to yourself, okay, Clemson lost, but are they still the best team in the ACC given who they lost to and how close the game was? And once you covered that, then you could do the rest.
Okay. Are you going first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right, knock yourself out.
Okay, I left Clemson at 1. No change. I made NC State 2, Virginia Tech 3, Pitt 4, Boston College 5, Virginia 6, Wake Forest 7, Syracuse 8. Stop. All those teams won. The next 6 lost. North Carolina, Miami, I didn't see it. Now, you're good. I know you're good. But after 1 week, I thought we were going to get an effort one way and we got something else. So that's why I put you 9-10. Doesn't mean I think you're 9-10, but you're 9-10 this week. Florida State, close call against Notre Dame. I thought you played well. Louisville, nope. Duke, nope. Georgia Tech, nope. So that's the way I ended up going.
All right, so you basically gave me Clemson's on a separate tier to prove it otherwise.
Clemson, to me, even with the loss to Georgia, is still one of those three.
Okay, so you gave me Clemson is on their own little universe. Then you gave me like a winner's bracket and a loser's
that's
bracket.
That's exactly what okay. I did. Right. And now within the winner's side, I will say this. I put Virginia Tech ahead of Pitt, even though Pitt beat Virginia Tech. That's last year, okay? I put Pitt in front of Boston College, and BC beat Pitt last year. I just thought Virginia Tech, given what they did and where they did it, was really impressive. NC State, to me, both sides of the ball, most impressive performance for 60 minutes on last week, okay? Now, some will argue that. I thought the Wolfpack looked the part and acted like they wanted to be in the front. Carolina, Miami had chances to be in the front. They didn't act like they wanted to be in the front. Louisville had a chance last night. They didn't act like it. So that's where I created the splits.
Okay. I understand it.
Okay.
Totally get it. Now, what will be funny, before I show you mine, will be, I'm sure, when social media gets their hands on this,
oh,
it'll get plastered on Instagram or wherever it goes.
Oh, yeah.
And people won't see the show.
They won't know why.
Hey, Wes.
The amazing thing is
this. You fall down a flight of stairs, you think Carolina, wherever you have
them. Here's the beauty of accounting with us on this show. Most of the people that react to it don't see the show.
Right.
They just see the post, the social media, whatever.
Right.
And I get taken out behind the woodshed on social media and clubbed like a baby seal.
Yeah, that is some truth in that.
I mean, Nobody hears the logic because we don't run that part on the social media.
Yeah, there was a time last year when I was doing the Sweet 16. Of course, the 16th spot
and
was always...
people were losing their minds.
And of course, 16 for me
got Florida
was a joke.
There.
Does this idiot not understand that Florida ain't in the ACC?
The Dodgers aren't in the ACC
right. And I would read them and laugh like, man, these folks have lost their minds.
It's all amazing right. How many people comment on things we do and say and yet don't see the show.
Yeah. All right, here we go, West
Curious.
Durham. I did not do the West Durham theory. But I tell you, I had a debate at one. I got to be completely honest with you.
Oh, I had a debate with myself.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, wait a minute now. We had somebody win a top 10 game and looked the part. We had another guy that didn't really do a whole lot on the offensive side, even though I think they're the best team. So I left Clemson one until proven otherwise. I got the Hokies, man. They made a major jump for me. That was a pressure game in every sense of the word.
They and NC State were the two most impressive teams last week.
Well, it shows right here in the counting.
It does for you, yeah.
But I gave the Hokies the nod at two because, quite frankly, better win. And look the part. I think there was a pressure that if Virginia Tech doesn't win that game, what are we talking about this week, right? It would have been hot, 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 hot. So guess what? Hokies won. They go up to number two. NC State, solid, balanced. Beat up a bad team, and that's what good teams do to bad teams. I only dropped North Carolina to four. And this is where you and I differ, Wes. I think North Carolina still, from a talent perspective, is probably the second or third most talented team in the league. I think despite the fact that their offensive line got beat up and smashed and embarrassed, still got five starters back.
I don't disagree with Sam Howell.
Yeah. And I can't put them 9 or 10 because there's not 8 teams better than North Carolina. Pitt, I'm leaving them right in the neighborhood. That spot of last week, buying the Panthers. I think they're pretty good, but this is a really big week coming up at Tennessee at the Johnny Majors Classic. Canes dropped three just because they, quite frankly, were not competitive. I'm not sure anybody would be taking on Alabama. Tide's that good. BC, I hate dropping them too because I like their football team, and they pitched a shutout. Dracovic throws for 300. BC fans, don't get too upset. I think you got a chance to make a move. Same thing holds true for number 8 and number 9. Virginia got a big game this week with Illinois, a chance to kind of stamp their spot. And Florida State, I moved up one, but I tell you what now, the Noles impressed me. I really loved the fight in the fourth quarter. Mike Norvell's got them going in the right direction. Would not surprise me with that kind of effort moving forward. Florida State hits the top 5 pretty quick, in my opinion. The Swiss are at 10. Nobody's mad with them. Nobody's happy with them. They're the Swiss. They're 10. We'll find out when they play Florida State in a week and a half. That will be a big game. I got Cuse moving up because they had a W on the road. They needed it. And everybody behind him in the rearview mirror, you deserve to be exactly where you are. Team of mystery last night didn't show me a whole lot from that perspective. Duke actually moved up just because Georgia Tech paid $1 million to lose at home. So there you go. That is my accounting for week number one. All over the place.
I think we both like the Hokies and what they did.
Sure. No question. How would you not?
Yeah.
I mean, you win a game at home against a top 10 team for the first time since 2009. There was pressure to serve and hold serve at home. You did. The fans were awesome. Team played great. Justin Fuente was with us yesterday on the program. So, yeah, you get love when you win, man. You lose, you drop, in all likelihood. But this was a humongous win for Virginia Tech.
Right. And really the only interchanging at the top for Mark and I was, I had NC State 2, Virginia Tech 3. Pac's got Hokies 2, Wolfpack 3. It's Virginia Tech, to me, answered as many questions as we might have had in the offseason about a program.
Well, we talked so much about the game in the summer because you knew, number one, conference game.
Environment.
They don't like each other. 66,000 people going to be there having a good time, partying like rock stars like they haven't in 2 years. The pressure on North Carolina because of who they are, where they're ranked, all the hype. The pressure.
And last year.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And for Virginia Tech, all the pressure of, hey, you know what? Last year didn't end the right way. We need to get off to a good start. We got a schedule in 21 with so many home games early that we need to just explode out of the gate, and they did. From the opening coin toss, we want the ball. Here we go. Touchdown. So I thought Virginia Tech had all the pressure in the world to win the game, and they did.
Yeah.
And for North Carolina, as Mac Brown said, tonight we were overrated, and they got to get back to work. That offensive line, like I said, I thought there was a theme with the three ranked teams in the ACC in week one. Clemson, North Carolina, Miami, all three offensive lines got worked. And so it's time to get back to work and figure that thing out.
Yeah, the other part that probably concerns me as much about Carolina is this. Offensive line struggled. They didn't do a particularly good job tackling, I thought.
No, I totally agree. They look like the more physical team won the football game.
Right. And that shouldn't happen if you're going to be building what they've talked about building.
Well, as you know, neither one of us had a chance to go on the tour. But everybody that did talked about, man, North Carolina defensively. What do you see these guys? Well, we watched them.
Yeah.
And you know what? The boys in the Duke shorts and the white shirts, they didn't tackle anybody.
Yeah.
Well, quite frankly. But North Carolina still, to me, has, from a talent standpoint, the upside to get it back on track.
All right. Here's the thing about Virginia Tech. You get a ball game on Saturday with Middle Tennessee State, and Justin Fuente, you'll hear later, talks about them putting the ball in the air a lot, and they do. Rick Stockstill's been there for years and does a marvelous job with the Blue Raider program. However, you also got to start looking ahead a little bit too.
You better worry about this with Saturday.
We'll get Saturday done, but know then you got Morgantown and places like that. So that's Virginia Tech scenario. Virginia Tech can stay in this as long as they want to after last Friday night.
Well, they control their destiny.
Exactly.
They beat the team that most folks think were the favorites. So
stay in it as long as you want.
They've got the hard, quote-unquote, the hardest game in the rearview mirror. In West Virginia, hey, you know, they don't like each other either. But so if you lost that game, it's not going to affect your ACC standings. To me, that's kind of like that's the icing for them.
Carolina, here's the deal. Get it fixed, and then Virginia comes to Chapel Hill in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, big game.
Get it fixed Saturday against Sean Elliott and Georgia State.
Well, they will. I mean, come on. Please.
I'm not giving anything. There's nothing to give now.
For anybody. I'm giving that one away. They'll beat Georgia State.
All right. More on the Coastal in about 15
Georgia
minutes.
Sorry, Georgia State. When you have your own network, you can say these guys on ACC Network are fools. But North Carolina will take care of business.
We're going to have plenty of that here shortly.
Well, social media will have fun with us.
We got conference cuts from Labor Day. Mm-hmm. Yep. Some folks took to the podium yesterday on a Monday. They Manny Diaz on the Zoom. Max wearing black. Dino Babers, good-looking shirt.
Orange equals W.
Yeah, it does. DJ Uiagalelei visits the conference cut podium.
Got work to do.
When we come back next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, it's a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Week one is in the books. Thank goodness.
Here we
Hopefully better things in week two.
Here we are in the basement. By the way, we got a ton of games this weekend.
Yeah, we do. You tell me 14.
14 of them right there. I got them all on one card for you.
So many games you can put on one card.
14. That's about all you can put on one card.
Nice colors, by the way.
Thanks. Well, you got to keep it separate. Yeah. All right, time for conference cuts, kids. Fresh from the podium yesterday. Some schools elected to do that Labor Day media op.
It was a working day.
Slide it on.
Let me tell you something. After the start that we've had in this league, nobody needs to take any days off.
No pool, no cookouts.
That's right.
No, let's get back to it. That's it. Off to Chapel Hill to start conference cuts. Mac Brown wasn't pretty on Friday night. It's a game that he said left he and his staff with far more questions than answers.
We've had really, really hard discussions, Andrew, with our coaches about everything. And I ask the same questions fans ask. Why didn't we have these few things fixed? Why do we have communication issues? Why do we have sacks? Why do we have penetration on offense? Why aren't we separating more with our receivers and defensive backs on offense? Why didn't we catch uncontested balls on both sides of the ball? Why don't we have more sacks? That's what we talked about. Why don't we have more turnovers? Why didn't we get more punt return yardage? You can't say, oh, well, we didn't play well. Why? And you got issues and you fix them. And We tried to fix them in the spring. We tried to fix them in the fall. No better way to fix them against a good team on the road. If we had played a poor team at home and blown them out, you probably don't fix things. So shame we lost, but probably the best thing happened to us. We're not the 10th best team in the country. We got back down to earth. We got a lot of work to do. Our program's still ahead of what it should be. We'll get better because Javari Ritzy played so good, but he'll be better by the fifth game than he is now. And we've got a lot of inexperienced players like Jaquarius Conley playing safety, and we got to have somebody step up at wide receiver. So we've got a lot of work to do, and a lot of those things were exposed on Friday night that have to be fixed.
All right, there's the coach.
Amen, 100% right. And all those questions, you're right, fans are asking those questions. Mm. And again, it's week one, you got work to do, but that was not what North Carolina expected coming out of the gate.
Which area concerns you the most? They're having hard discussions. Are they having discussions about being physical? Are they having discussions about the offensive line? I mean, which one of those discussions would you think would be near the top?
A lot of that stuff goes hand in hand, right? I mean, the offensive line got worked. Now, you got five starters back that have been playing together for a long time. I thought Virginia Tech was sensational up front. Justin Fuente talked about that yesterday. I didn't expect that. I expected, all right, North Carolina's going to have to figure out, you lose Carter and Williams in the backfield. Those are two dudes now. Mm-hmm. I don't care about any transfer coming in from Tennessee or anywhere else. You had two great players.
Right.
That's a problem. Wideouts. Who's going to step up and make plays? Yeah, you got a guy that can deliver it, but who can have that separation? Josh Downs, we talked about all that stuff. Who's the second receiver? So, work in progress, but I expected North Carolina to come out of the gates stronger than they did. I thought Virginia Tech pushed them around.
All right. Off to Clemson, DJ Uiagalelei said there's plenty of blame to go around following Clemson's loss Saturday night here in Charlotte to Georgia, but he said you can point the finger directly at one person.
It starts off with the quarterback, and I felt like that as me as the quarterback, as a leader of the team, that as a leader of the offense, I didn't play very well. So as off of that, that a lot of people, they feed off of the quarterback. If the quarterback's playing well, then most likely the offensive line, and that everyone else is going to rally around the quarterback. And when your quarterback's not playing well, it's really hard to rally around that. Really hard to rally around the quarterback if he's not playing well. And I felt like that for me, I got like Coach Sweeney said, that best players have to play in their best in the big game. So for me, I didn't play my best, and I know that. But you know, I'm ready for a challenge. You know, I'm ready to get back at it week two, ready to prepare, ready to come back out with a different attitude, and ready to play.
Wes, I got to tell you, and I saw his quotes after the game.
That's pretty impressive, right there,
for a red shirt freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's still a young kid now. To step up in that magnitude of what that game meant to those two schools that played,
yeah,
that's pretty impressive. And it's not one guy. I mean, that Clemson offensive line, much like North Carolina's offensive line, much like Miami's offensive line, they got work to do. They got to figure that thing out. The good news is I think there's a solution for everybody here in terms of North Carolina and Clemson, because you got talent.
Oh, yeah.
You got dudes. Now, you got to figure out what it is, but for a kid that young to step up and go, hey, man, my bad. And everybody's mm-hmm. going to pick him up. We know he's a talented guy, but you know what? The expectation level at Clemson is, hey, get in the college football playoff, go try to win a national championship, dominate the league. But the Tigers got work to do, too. That defense is filthy, and we know how good they are. But offensively, they got to figure out some answers here in the next couple weeks.
Can I make one quick media note while we're here?
Sure.
If we can get some of the video, Chrissy, just freeze the video. I don't need to. You can roll it if you want to, but we don't need the audio. Whatever's easiest. I want to compliment ClemsonSportsNews.com for the color coordination of the microphone screen in the positioning of it. See the purple microphone screen at ClemsonSportsNews.com? It's a good look. Now you bang, it pops right there for you.
You know, Wes, when you have unlimited budgets, you can do magical stuff.
Yeah.
Just look at us. We have coasters. Take that back. A coaster.
Yeah.
We have a coaster.
Tigernet got to step their game up. They just got the black.
And David Hood, you know.
What? Come on, David. Let's go.
David Hood and the boys down there.
All right. Manny Diaz, Coral Gables is our next stop. Things get out of hand early for Miami last Saturday against Alabama. Manny Diaz shared his perspective on the reasons things snowballed.
to me, 27-0 is a series of events that occurred. Now it looks like, non-competitive, not ready to play, or those type of things. To me, that's a game, and there are football things that occur in a game, and that's the point. It's the competition and the execution is what they were able to do at a level that we couldn't match. They were going to be difficult to beat anyway. We had to win the critical situations. We had to win turnovers. We had to win explosives. And it went the other way, and that's why the score looked the way that it looked. And Chris, one other point. Remember, they've been doing this to pretty much everybody. They won the national championship game by 30 points. I mean, they're really, you've got to do everything right to give yourself a chance to win. And by all means, we did enough wrong to put ourselves in a huge hole.
Would agree with that. Nobody's beaten Alabama till proven otherwise, unless they hurt themselves. But for Manny Diaz, as we talked about, regardless of what happened in week one, mm-hmm. we're going to find out the maturity of the Miami football program in week two. Here comes Appalachian State. You're at home. Hopefully it's great weather. It normally is that time of the year. Fans right. should be excited. A chance to tailgate and partake.
Night but, game.
You know, Appalachian State, Michigan State, back-to-back. Man, you know, all of a sudden that game against Sparty looks a little different. But Miami's going to have to, in that locker room, man up this week, take responsibility, and show me the maturity of their program. Yep. This is an important game for Miami coming up Saturday.
Off to Central New York, Dino Babers, a Labor Day visit with the media. His thoughts on Sean Tucker emerging as a high-tier talent in the ACC at running back. 181 yards the other night at Ohio. Dino Babers says the Ohio game was a big test for the sophomore at running back.
First of all, we wanted to see if he could carry the ball that much. The ball's not very heavy. It weighs a couple of ounces, and he was able to handle that. So we're really excited about that. Now, the other thing is, though, that not trying to be funny, is now his body. Okay, that was a physical game versus Ohio, and now we've got to see how his body is going to recover. We're deep at that position, okay, and we think Sean Tucker's really good. That's why he's running out there first, but we think we've got some other guys too. So we want to make sure that he can handle that workload, and if he can't handle that workload, then we need to divide it up with somebody else that's in the backfield.
Okay. How you feel there?
I have never, ever met a running back who can really play that says, "Coach, I can handle it. Give me the rock. Give me the rock 40 times. Let's go." Mm-hmm. Really important win. We talked about two teams last week off the main headline games. Syracuse and Duke. How important was it to get off to a good start? Duke loses at Charlotte. Tough loss, needless to say.
Right.
Durant goes off for 255. But for Syracuse to go on the road and get a win coming off a 1-10 year, big win. Now you got Rutgers coming to town. And I would think that the locals up there in New York State, you got a chance to see the dome, man. Get on out there. Get you a ticket. Rutgers, Syracuse, that's a good water cooler game. Yep.
The one thing I'll say about Syracuse, quietly went about their business. They didn't throw it a whole lot the other night.
Well, listen, when Tucker's going for a 181, don't get cute with it.
No, I understand that. But you kind of almost – change gears. You went from, you know, stick shift to automatic a little bit. I mean, you ran the ball. You got really consistent performance defensively. A youngster named Deuce Chestnut had a big ball game for him in the secondary. I mean, those are the kinds of things that, you know, sleepy Syracuse, didn't win many games last year, give you something. Now here it comes. Here it comes Saturday.
It's a big game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's a water cooler game in the Northeast. Rutgers, Syracuse. There's four to pop this week. Right, Virginia, Illinois, ACC, SEC matchups. Yeah. And by the way, the ACC over right now against the Southeastern Conference. So yeah. Pressure on NC State and Pittsburgh to go on the road at Tennessee and Mississippi State, respectively. So there's always storylines in college football. And anybody that wants to crystal ball what December looks like, hey, you can go waste your time with all that. It really doesn't matter. You got to go take care of business this week. And I promise you, when we're back here next week, assuming we're still employed on Monday, there will be unbelievable storylines that we'd never thought of. It's just why this sport is so great.
There you go. All right. More to come. Don't forget, Sunday Best is alive and well on ACC Network. High noon this Sunday. We start you with field hockey. Number 24, James Madison, visits number 11, Wake Forest. Swiss got a little field hockey for you packed. Then at 2 o'clock, South Florida, Miami on the women's soccer card right here on ACC Network. Streaming live on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. When we come back, we said it yesterday.
The door to the Coastal is now wider than it was a week ago. What's that mean? Well, FPI is back to tell us.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. That's all next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844 say ACCN.
Our limited merchandise.
That's what we got. Don't lose that coaster. It's the only one we got left. That's all we got. That's all I got for the budget for 21.
Oh, man.
Spend it all on the ACC tour.
Eric McClain coming up top of the hour.
Yeah.
Rumor was he was on a boat in Charleston, South Carolina yesterday.
Good for him. Be nice. I was working. How about you?
Yeah, working.
Oh. All right. Yeah. It's each of their own.
I know you've been waiting to see this.
Not really. I got to be honest with you.
Stop. Come on.
I'm a big fan of FPI.
I know you are.
What was what did FPI say Clemson's chances were to beat Georgia? Anybody remember that one?
54.
Are you sure?
I don't remember.
Do we know what that number was?
I'm sure somebody can.
What was FPI's pick on North Carolina, Virginia Tech? Keep an eye on that?
That was Carolina.
Yeah. Okay.
And they had Georgia Tech at like some 90% deal.
Oh, Georgia Tech was in over 90 to beat Northern Illinois?
I think so,
Can we get the smart people to just look in it? Because, you know, I'm a big fan of FPI.
Okay, good.
Big fan.
Good. Since you are, then we're going to do this. Because things have changed mightily in the span of 60 minutes of football in Blacksburg the other night and performances throughout the rest of the Coastal. So how did the FPI football power index – Get excited now.
I am. I'm in deep pain this morning.
How did it look before last week, and how does it look now?
Oh, they changed
chances to win the Coastal. Preseason, Miami 51%, Carolina 28%, Virginia Tech 11%, 7% for Pittsburgh, 3% for Virginia. Georgia Tech and Duke each less than 1%.
Well, look what's
happened. Miami's dropped down to 32.5. Hokies have snuck up to 31. Look at Pittsburgh. Look at Carolina still hanging around. And 8% for Virginia. Cavalier faithful get excited. Georgia Tech and Duke still each less than 1%.
Am I supposed to comment on that?
Yes.
It doesn't matter to me what they think. None of that is important.
Look at the slide, though, in just 1 week.
Look at us in accounting. Everybody was sliding all over the place. I mean, what do those numbers mean?
Just shows you how 1 week.
Who? What is
Virginia
FPI?
Virginia Tech beats Carolina.
Is it some guy in a bubble? I mean, what's going on here?
This is our 2-year discussion.
Well, I still haven't gotten any answers. That's my point. Well, FPI, I mean, come on.
You're not allowed to...
To rip FPI because it's an ESPN property?
We're not allowed to know that FPI because they want to keep that
tell you how
on
I
the
feel.
DL. I think the Lumberjacks may know some FPI people.
I don't care.
And
they don't tell us who it is.
Protect us from the FPI.
Yeah.
Well, and primarily us, I mean you.
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Well, North Carolina, who we all thought was the favorite, or Miami, take your pick.
Okay.
You're telling me one game and they have a 10% chance? I would tell you this right now. I don't know how any of it's going to play. I keep telling you. I don't worry about all this stuff going down the road. I'm going to worry about this week. But I would, if you're telling me North Carolina's only got a 10% chance to win the Coastal, I would tell you they're higher, better odds than that.
Okay.
In my humble opinion.
All right. Here's when the next
the PPI, the top, Packer Power Index. Right. You know where it's located? Right here in the basement.
That's it. All right.
Well,
let me give you a couple things here to work from. Number one, we're going to have to hold a little bit on the chaos because the door opened, but it's not going to be skewed anytime soon because we've got a couple weeks before the next big Coastal game. Okay. That'll be a Saturday night in week 3 in Chapel Hill when Virginia visits Carolina. Okay. Now, by the way, the Huddle will be there on site that night at Keenan Stadium.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're going to be on campus that day.
Oh, cool.
Doing the whole show. It'll be fun.
Excellent.
For the nighttime contest with Dave and Tim and Kelsey.
I'll be right here in the basement.
So you get the top 5 in the Coastal. Here's their next Coastal opponent. You see Virginia, Carolina on the 18th. Then you see September 30th, Miami, Virginia. Yes, that's a Thursday night in Miami Gardens, Florida. Then drop down to week 7, October 16th. That is the day that Miami plays Carolina and the same day that Pitt plays at Virginia Tech. And then the last one kind of hanging out there in this conglomerate of the four would be on, or five rather, would be on Thursday night in week 11 when North Carolina visits Heinz Field to play Pittsburgh. So there's kind of the markers, if you will, of where the Coastal stands.
By the way, FPI just sent me a note. There'll be a 100% chance that we're not going to be at any of these games. How about that? That might be the most accurate thing that they've predicted. We won't be at any of those games.
Are you saying they're wrong or right?
I'm saying they're accurate
They're accurate.
That we won't be at any of those games. The show won't be.
No. All right. So that's where we are.
It's the Coastal. Why are we worried about...
Why are we surprised?
No, I'm not surprised at all. But why are we worried about anything in October and November where it's week to week in the Coastal? It's week to week. Don't worry about it.
It won't be this week.
No, this week we have, as you have your little card there with 14 separate games. We don't have any conference matches.
14 separate games, no conference games this week.
It's going to be crazy. For anybody that thinks they know what's going to happen, they don't.
Yeah.
You don't. Right. You simply don't know. It's the Coastal.
That's it.
And, you know, while we're worried about the Coastal, you know, given Clemson's offensive woes, is there concern about the Atlantic? Or you think that's just cruise control?
I don't think that's cruise control just yet.
I don't either.
You know what we need to see this week?
Well, NC State's going to get tested with a much better competition in South Florida. And I'm curious to see what Pitt does on the road at Tennessee. You
saw them about Syracuse hosting Rutgers.
In Virginia, Illinois.
Right.
I mean, this is not William and Mary this week. You play Illinois. Now, which Illinois team shows up, I don't know.
Outstanding college football team. Jim Root and the College of William and Mary.
William and Mary is no standard
football team.
Unless you're doing an SAT competition. So Virginia would be fine in that too, by the way. But Illinois comes to town. Is it the team that lost to UT San Antonio? Or is it the team that beat Nebraska? It's college football. It's what I keep saying. Every week, it's a whole different ball game.
That's it.
You have no idea how it's going to play out.
All right.
Except for FPI, of course. They know.
Hour two of this Tuesday program coming up next.
100% chance that Eric McLean will be up next, according to FPI. Got one right this week. By the way, I would like to see the FPI numbers from last week. Seriously. I mean, if we're gonna put all this credence in the FPI – hey, you know, let's go see what the scores were last week and how well FPI did. I'm just asking. Surely it was 80% plus of accuracy.
I bet we've got the talent to order that up.
It can't be hard. We got all the numbers. It's some magical area in the campus of Bristol up there in the corner where nobody's allowed in. It's where they are. Just call them up.
You think your badge works there?
I've got a parking pass, too. It's on my Ford F-150.
Hey, guys, just a reminder here from Bristol. We just got a reminder from FPI. FPI is never wrong.
That's what I've been told. Not buying it.
Voice of victory. Yeah. How about that, huh?
Undefeated voice of victory.
Victory. Right.
And undefeated FPI, too.
Well, yeah. And he'll be back later.
It's a probability, not a prediction, friends.
Oh, okay.
Hi. I'm Mark Packer. I work for FPI. This is called the backstroke. When we get something wrong, we don't take any responsibility. Unlike DJ, we take nothing in terms of responsibility.
How about the voice of victory just chiming
undefeated.
In? Undefeated. Yeah, undefeated. Yeah. Undefeated voice of victory. He'll be back. Yeah, he'll be back with Barker Bite at 8:45. Yeah, good to see you. When we come back, Eric McLean joins us. We'll find out what was in what were we hunting with on the boat yesterday. We'll do that and more when we continue on Tuesday's Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.